It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. KMTS Connections connects you to everything that matters in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show. March is National Nutrition Month, and they take that pretty seriously at Grand River Health. Nikita Sullivan is the kitchen manager at Grand River. Jackie Gieselman is a greenhouse attendant. Yeah, they have a greenhouse at the hospital. Nikita, I'm going to start with you. What does your job entail as the kitchen manager? Obviously, you're in charge of the food that gets cooked and how it gets cooked and all that.
I am. We actually we have a pretty cool environment here at Grand River Health Cafe. We do catering as well as we do the cafe. We do patient meals. We have a whole greenhouse, as Gabe had mentioned, out in the back. We put out upwards of 5,000 to 8,000 meals a month between everything we do. We try to keep it as healthy as we can. We try to keep it as delicious as we can and scratch made every day.
That 5,000 to 8,000 meals a month?
Depending on the month, yep, summer seems to be a little bit slower for us, but pretty much we're hitting right about 8,000 meals a month.
Split that out between patient meals and folks that are in some way eating because they're at the hospital and folks like members of the public that just come in because they enjoy it.
That is correct. We do, like I said, we do catering and we do about 1,500 meals a month in catering. We do about 1,000 meals in patients. Most of the rest of it comes from people in the cafe. We have an amazing customer base in the cafe. We get people from all over town. It's not just the employees, which is really awesome.
And of course, employees, I'm sure, probably eat there a lot as well.
Yeah, we do have a lot of employees that eat every day, three meals a day there.
What kind of planning and preparation goes in? You say everything is made from scratch. So how far ahead do you have to plan?
I have three amazing chefs that I work with. One of them, my executive chef, works right next to me, and we plan about a month in advance. For meals, we do a rotating breakfast menu, and then every month lunch changes day to day, and then a rotating dinner menu. But it is pretty extensive planning, recipe finding, nutrition findings, things like that. It takes some time. It takes about a week, actually, for us to create a full lunch menu.
Wow. What kind of things do you put into? Obviously, certain patients have special needs, so you also have to deal with that. It's not just, okay, what are we going to feature to the general public, but you also have to take into consideration dietary concerns of patients that are actually in the hospital.
Yeah, we actually just recently created a whole new menu along with changing lifestyles for the patients. They have a rotating fall and winter menu and summer spring menu, and it's all specific to them. Everything on their menu can be used for whatever diet that patient is on. It's all adaptable.
Changing lifestyles, what is that? What does that mean?
Health education. It's okay. Mickey Hozak and her team over there.
Okay. And so they work with folks that may have, maybe they're newly diagnosed with diabetes or something like that, and they help
Correct.
Them kind of work that into their regimen. So kind of combining all of the maybe medicine from the doctors as well as changing habits and, well, changing lifestyles. I guess
yep.
That's kind of what it means.
It's all health education. Teaches anybody what they need to know.
So Jackie's the greenhouse attendant. Jackie, that means that you have dirty hands all day, right?
That's an understatement. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it means.
So how big a greenhouse are we talking about here? I'm thinking 5,000 to 8,000 meals a month. You probably don't grow enough in the greenhouse to entirely grow all the vegetables.
I don't grow all the vegetables for the kitchen. We grow a large portion of it. I work together with the executive chef and with Nikita and sit down and we plan out a year's worth of growing ahead. I have to tell my chefs, just because you want it and you're used to being able to call up and order it doesn't mean I can do that. When you tell me you want something, it's 6 months bed space for me. Right now we have 17 beds in our greenhouse. Our greenhouse is 48 feet by 31 and a half feet wide. And it has heating in it, and our sides roll up in the summer, so we're heated and cooled and run all year round. We grow just about anything you might imagine, because our chefs have hit on just about anything you might imagine. We also have a hillside outside that grows some fresh produce during the summer months, so we give our patients fresh berries and fresh grapes and some of the fresh herbs out there as well.
I'm doing the math in my head. Is that about 1,300 square feet?
Roughly 1,300 square feet, and in our height, when I have a really good year, we can produce close to 3,000 pounds of produce.
Which sounds like quite a bit.
It is. When you're harvesting and weighing and bringing it in, it's a lot of produce to move through there.
Do you have folks that help you, or is it just you that's out there in the garden?
I have volunteers. We reach out to CSU's Master Gardener program, and we bring the Master Gardeners in to help us. I'm always looking for volunteers to come in and give me a hand whenever they're available. I try to work with the volunteers and let them know what the background on the greenhouse is, what the purpose of it is, get them trained up so that while they're in there, they're available to touch base with the public who does walk through, because you'd be amazed. You go to a hospital, you see a greenhouse, and you got to stop out and find out what is happening.
Is a greenhouse in a hospital? Is, you know, I know that things are always changing, and you hear more about hospitals all over being more interested in preventative care and all of that. So is this, and being more healthy in the kitchen as well, in the, what's the word I'm looking for? The commissary, the lunchroom.
The cafe.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is it more common to have this type of thing? So this is actually pretty unique.
We are actually the only hospital in Colorado that I'm aware of that has a greenhouse. However, it is becoming more popular. I did read an article the other day that stated how much more popular it is becoming, you know, nationwide.
So you haven't had any folks from other hospitals, Aspen, Grand Junction, Glenwood?
They've come through. They've come through.
Yeah, we did have a hospital a couple months back that was just building that had asked about it and was kind of invested in it, and I don't really know whatever happened with it, but we have had some questions on it.
As a kitchen manager, again, you've got a lot of moving pieces, Nikita. And so is the greenhouse, obviously, it's kind of a moving target, as Jackie said. You can't just order something up like you can with a supplier or a vendor and say, okay, I need 100 pounds of green beans here by tomorrow at 9 a.m. So does it make things more complicated, and is it worth it in the long run?
I absolutely think it's worth it. You know, it's organic and it's homegrown and it's fresh. Absolutely, I think that it's worth it. Yeah, it does get a little hard at times when she brings something funky in and there's only three heads of it. It is kind of hard to use sometimes, but we leave our vegetable option pretty open so we can usually chop it up and throw it in something.
Well, that just means that you can charge more for it.
Right, if only.
Jackie, you mentioned that you're always looking for volunteers to help in the greenhouse. If anybody is listening and would be interested in volunteering, how can they get a hold of you? What's the best way?
Actually, they have to get a hold of Karin over in Volunteer Services and talk to her.
Or so they have to go through Warwick. That whole process.
They have to go through the whole process.
Okay.
Even though we don't have direct patient care, we have to go through the same process that anybody else volunteering at the hospital does.
So anybody that had that in the back of their mind and they're thinking, well, what about my personal information? There you go. It goes through the same process, the same review, the same background check that any volunteer working in the hospital would go through. So Karin would be the one to check in with at Grand River. We'll take a quick break, come back and visit a little bit more. Again, this is National Nutrition Month, so we're visiting with Nikita, who's the kitchen manager at Grand River Health. And I guess you might say that, you know, the buck stops here. If something goes wrong, you have to take the credit. So if something goes right, she's the one that would be in charge of that Grand River Cafe that everybody's been raving about for the last several years. Maybe you haven't been in charge all that time, but
two
I know.
2 years.
At least for the last couple of years, she's the one that's responsible at the top, you might say. And then Jackie, who is working on all of those greens and other stuff in the greenhouse. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon we're visiting with Nikita Sullivan. She is the kitchen manager at Grand River Health. Jackie Gieselman is the greenhouse attendant. I want to go back to you, Jackie. It is something that I have toyed with in my, over the years. If only I had time. You've got all the time in the world to work on your greenhouse, you might say. Is it a little bit different when it's what you're going to work for, what you're working for that paycheck?
It's a little bit different, but I always tell people I love what I do. So you don't see it at my house. You go home. And last year I even told my kids I wasn't putting in a garden because I don't get the help there. So we don't have the same amount of stuff at home as I do here. But I've raised my kids to understand that you can grow it at home and you can grow it at work, or you can do it what you need to. And when you do what you love, it's a lot of fun to do it. So
what's your background? How did you come into this job?
Actually, I have a degree in ornamental horticulture out of, well, now they call it Delaware Valley University. At the time, it was Delaware Valley College in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. About 13 years ago, I moved into the area with my husband, and I used to run Rifle Garden Center on the north side of town here in town before they closed a couple years back. When I came in there, I started growing, but I've always grown. I started in high school and kind of moved my way through. At this point in time, I've got about 20 years growing and or in the floral industry in some way, shape, and or form. When I saw the ad in the paper, I kind of thought it was a joke. I mean, it's a hospital and it's a greenhouse. They don't go together. So I came in and applied. And at the time, the greenhouse was in a different location and only had half the bed space going into it. Got hired on by a previous management situation. Came in about 3 years ago. I guess I just hit my third year anniversary. Working on our fourth growing season here, have moved it and managed to get a grant from LiveWell to help us expand and get our heating and cooling systems going in it, have added irrigation to it. We've rotated through various crops. Like I was saying earlier, our hillside's got, we've got fresh strawberries in the summer, fresh rhubarb, fresh blackberries, raspberries, grapes. And that's just outside. That's not even what we're doing inside with. Right now, we just planted for this year 18 different types of tomatoes, 9 different types of peppers. I think I got 6 different squash going, multiple different types of lettuces, spinaches, cucumbers, and eggplant.
So, Nikita, does your executive chef have different recipes that call for different types of tomatoes? How many different types of tomatoes?
18.
18 different types of tomatoes?
We don't have recipes for 18 different tomatoes, but 18 different tomatoes taste 18 different ways, and you can definitely tell. And they're fun to play with. If nothing else, they end up on our salad bar.
Gotcha. And, of course, they're different sizes and shapes.
Yes.
And
colors.
Flavors and colors.
Yeah, sure, colors.
Of course. Okay. Fair enough. I find it interesting that, you know, we're talking about the Grand River Cafe at the hospital. And, of course, at the hospital, when you're talking about patients, you would talk about bed space. But we're talking about the greenhouse, and you're also talking about bed space in the greenhouse.
Yeah, it's an important factor. Our beds are only 4x8 foot beds. So when I say I'm doing 18 different types of tomatoes, there's a lot of tomatoes in a little space.
Are they raised?
Yes.
Are they? Okay. So that helps the back a little bit.
Yes, it does. That was one of the changes when I came in, was raising them up so that I wasn't bent over as far.
Well, there are other benefits to raised beds as well, aren't there? I mean, doesn't it help with weed control and that kind of thing?
It helps with weed control. It helps with temperature. Ironically enough, most people aren't familiar with the type of soil we grow in. We grow in a ground coconut husk, which holds our moisture longer. So with our dry temperatures and our hot summers, it means I'm using less water.
Did we get that coconut husk from the same place? From the old...
No.
All right. You never know. What else? Oh, and heating and cooling.
Yes.
Heating, I can see, because obviously in the winter, you know, things freeze. That's not usually good with vegetables, that kind of thing. But you also need cooling in the summer.
Yes, in the summer months, you need cooling. People don't think about it, but I have to put a shade cloth up. We put a fan up. My sides raise up 3 to 4 feet to help airflow through it. At the height of the summer, you can walk in and it's on average 110 to 120 degrees in that greenhouse, and you've got to drop the temperature for plant health.
So for those of us that are too lazy to change our diets, we could just spend some time in there.
You can sweat anything out of there, yeah.
Plus, that has some, cleansing and all that, right?
Yeah, there you go.
That's my argument anyway.
Yeah, you can laugh. Just within the last week, it may have been 45 degrees outside, but I was working in 92 degrees.
No kidding.
Yeah.
92 degrees.
92 degrees.
Wow. Okay.
As it snows.
Yeah, right? Exactly. But if the sun's out, I guess, that's what really makes the greenhouse work, right?
Yeah. The solar, it works really well for us and gets the temperatures up pretty quick.
What is something like maybe an exotic fruit or vegetable that you'd like to grow that you haven't tried yet?
Avocados.
They keep telling me avocados and mangoes. That's our running joke. And the bay leaf tree that I've been asked for. Those are our running jokes.
I mean, you're sure that it's bay leaves?
Yeah.
Is it theoretically possible to grow avocados in Colorado in a greenhouse situation?
It is theoretically possible, yes. In the situation we have set up at this point in time, no. However, if it ever changes, it could be a possibility, yes.
What is the biggest obstacle in growing avocado? Do they require a really steady temperature? Is that it?
It's not so much the steady temperature as it is right now. I have heat, as I said, but my heating system is only set to 45 degrees in the winter, and avocados don't like 45 degrees in the winter.
Okay. Reminds me of a story I'll tell you between the break about meeting a guy from Fiji who said, well, sometimes it gets down to 27. He was talking about Celsius. I couldn't figure out why he was so cold in the 72-degree conference room that we were in years ago. Again, we're talking about Grand River Health's Cafe and their commitment to National Nutrition Month, which happens to be March. We'll take one final break, come back, and wrap things up in a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're visiting with Jackie Gieselman, who is the greenhouse attendant at the Grand River Health. Yes, they have a greenhouse. Sounds like a prototype that they may be transplanting to other hospitals in the area. And Nikita Sullivan is the kitchen manager. I wrote this down at the beginning of the conversation and did not come back to it yet. So there's something called the Healthy Hospital Compact that Grand River is working on right now. What is that, Nikita?
So the cafe and health education, Mickey Hozak and her team, are working on implementing what's called the Colorado Healthy Hospital Compact. And it's basically just a program that, helps people make better choices, is more visual for people to understand what's healthy and what's a little bit less healthy. We are the first hospital on the Western Slope that are partaking in this. It is really exciting. We actually have somebody come out and audit our cafe and everything that we offer in the cafe, as well as the patient menus. So we just started on this about maybe 6 months ago. So we're kind of just in the baby stages of it, but it is really exciting. We've made some really cool changes in the cafe along with our patient menus to adapt to it. And basically what it is it's showing what is, nutrition facts, nutrition information, what's healthy, what's less healthy. It's making the patient menus, across the board healthy for all different diets, things like that. In the cafe, we're making a lot of fun changes. We've adapted what's called a stoplight system with the green, the yellow, and the red. The green obviously being healthy, the red obviously being less healthy, and the yellow kind of sometimes it's healthy, sometimes it's not.
Everything in moderation, right?
Everything in moderation, maybe. if you come into our cafe, you'll see those colors everywhere. We have a grab-and-go that's slowly adapting those color changes. All of our drinks are slowly adapting those color changes. Our salad bar, our soups, everything. Within the next year, hopefully, we'll have a color on it so that everything you touch and everything you eat or drink, you'll know the nutrition information and where it lands on this stoplight system.
Brings up a good point, too. Earlier, we were talking about adapting the menus for the patients and their dietary needs. But you actually also put some thought into just the food in general that you serve, right?
Absolutely. Every day we always are watching our salt content, our carb content, everything that we put out. We're watching what we're putting into it.
And, of course, the benefit to that is not only do you get to eat really tasty food, but you get to know. So you do offer some things that maybe may have the red light, as you would call it, but you've also got some other choices. So the idea being, I suppose, in the grander scheme of things, if folks see something with a green or a yellow light, maybe they'll be more inclined to grab that as opposed to, you don't have a deep fat fryer, I'm guessing.
We do have a deep fat fryer. We have a grill and a fry menu, yes.
All right, I will meet you there.
We don't take people's choices away. That's not what the program is meant for.
Which is also something that's good to point out.
We don't want to take your choice away. We just want to persuade you in a better direction.
So if folks choose to eat a certain way, you're certainly happy to accommodate that. And you're giving them, like you say, some other choices that may be a little healthier.
Correct.
I'm always curious. Anytime I interview a singer or a songwriter or something like that, I always ask, I'm curious, what types of music they listen to and what types of music they like. So I'm curious, in Grand River Cafe, I want to ask both of you if you have a favorite meal that comes up from time to time. Obviously, when you're planning 30 meals a month, I guess that there are a lot of choices there. But is there something, Nikita, that if you've got a choice of A or B, and A you really like, maybe it'll slip in there a little more often?
You know, that's one of the hardest things I had to adapt to when creating menus, is putting things in there that I don't like, because it's not easy to write down things that you don't like to eat. And I've actually gotten a lot better about putting my favorites in less, because I know I probably overuse them because they're my favorites. But, you know, it's just a learning curve. You know, you had asked what one of my favorite meals is, and I think our chicken marsala is probably one of my favorite meals, and I try to do it like every other month.
Say, it's been a while since that's true.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil myself.
I got you. It's all part of maturing. Because, you know, no, seriously, every manager has that point where, you know, at the beginning, you kind of do things the way you want to, and then over time you realize that, okay, maybe we need to back off that a little. It's just all part of the learning process, the learning curve, I think.
But our customer base is really good as well, telling us, hey, we haven't had this and I really enjoyed it.
I think you just heard that from Jackie.
Yeah.
Jackie, what about you? Anything in particular? I guess for you, I would ask a two-part question, just overall, and then I'd ask, you know, a particular thing that maybe comes from the greenhouse.
Well, ironically enough, as you say that, a couple weeks ago they did the stuffed cabbage, which was from the greenhouse. My problem is my grandmother made it, and they didn't make it like grandma did, so it wasn't quite the same.
that's a different problem. Nobody's ever going to make it like grandma does.
No. But I don't, you know, I can't necessarily say I like our grab-and-go salads a lot. They're convenient. They make it easy to grab something quick and go back out and get going what I got to do. And
especially when you got a big list of things.
And Yeah. I tend to eat a lot out of our grab and go. There's a good selection of sandwiches, wraps, and salads that we do there. And especially with the temperatures I tend to spend most of my day in, it's really nice to be able to go in and get something cool and fresh and grab it that way.
Gotcha. And you don't even eat it. You just kind of pour it, you know, stick it underneath your hat.
Kind of, yeah.
Keep you cool. I understand that. You mentioned drinks, too. You know, drinks, something that we don't maybe always think about being nutritious or not nutritious, Nikita. And, of course, water, I think, is probably the healthiest thing for you. Although I suppose if you're really sweating a lot in the summer, some folks might say maybe you need some of those electrolytes and that
some
kind of
Gatorade.
Thing. But yeah, exactly. What's the selection of drinks that you have in the Grand River Cafe? Just about everything?
We do have a pretty wide variety. We do have a Pepsi fountain that obviously has your Mountain Dew for those that go through withdrawal. But we also we have a whole reach-in cooler that we promote juice, 100% juices, zero calories, low sodium drinks in that. We don't allow anything in that doesn't meet those requirements. And then we have what's called stubborn soda as well, which has no high fructose corn syrup and is a little bit healthier, a little bit lower calories, if calories at all.
It's amazing to me. So my oldest daughter took a nutrition class in college, one nutrition class. And the big thing throughout the whole thing was high fructose corn syrup. It's amazing to me how many things have it in it. I mean, things you wouldn't even expect it to be in.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Absolutely.
And I guess it's cheaper than real sugar is the argument from the industry standpoint, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's when I started on this whole healthy hospital compact journey, it was kind of crazy for me to see how many juices were 20% juice, 50% juice. There are so few out there that are actually 100% juice, which was kind of shocking to me.
I think I read the label on something like that, and it said 100% real juice flavor.
Yeah.
Which means 0% real juice,
yep.
Right?
Reading labels can be scary.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Especially if you have a little bit of knowledge in what to look for, right? Say a year from now, what will this Healthy Hospital Compact mean for Grand River Cafe?
We're hoping, so there's different stages you can meet. Right now we're at bronze. We're hoping to be at a gold standard within a year, which I don't think is too far off. I don't think it'll be that hard for us. It is a very time-consuming, extensive project, just inputting every single nutrition information into a system that we have and trying to figure out, you know, how we can moderate it to make it a little healthier for you. Within a year, I would like to have everything that we offer have nutrition information and a spotlight system on it.
It sounds a little bit like the emission controls for vehicles and the gas mileage. They say, I think the rule is over the entire fleet for a manufacturer, you have to meet a certain standard. So if you've got a, quote, gas guzzler on one end, you have to have a really efficient car on the other end to offset it. It sounds like it's something kind of similar to you in terms of the green light versus the red light foods.
Yeah, we definitely try to have mostly green light foods and very few, you know, those bad rainy days, red light foods.
Jackie, one final question for you, just out of curiosity. Back in the day, Depression era, my grandparents grew a lot of sugar beets in this area. You have any sugar beets in your greenhouse?
We have done sugar beet crops, yes. Right now, I don't have any, but we have done sugar beet crops. They actually turn out pretty well.
Do they? Yeah. It's, I don't know what you'd use them for other than, you know, baking them for a little while and slicing them up, right? I guess you can put them on salads.
They go on salad bar. They go on the salad bar. A lot of what comes out of the greenhouse shows up on our salad bar with nice labels that tell you it's greenhouse fresh.
Yep.
There you go. So that you know that it was actually grown right here at Grand River Health. Either of you like to share anything additional? Again, if you'd like to help Jackie volunteer in the greenhouse, you're absolutely welcome to. Just give Karin a call because you will go through the regular volunteer process at Grand River Health. Of course, you can find Karin's information at grandriverhealth.org. I believe there's a volunteers tab on the homepage.
There is.
So thank you both. All the best. We'll be looking forward to, actually, since I'm here today, I guess I might as well grab lunch, right?
Absolutely.
As long as the fryer is still hot. Thank you both very much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.